alcoholic. Very grateful to be here tonight. And just before the meeting, it's been quite an eventful day, and I'll come to that gradually. But just before the meeting, Wayne gave me a 20-year chip, and I thought, I'm going to do what Mike done with his. I expect he's got his mounted next to his George Cross. But I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, and there's no doubt about that. I'm the real deal, real alcoholic. I came along to AA May the 8th, 1998. Didn't know anything about alcoholism whatsoever. And the day before, I identify with Bill Wilton because May the 7th, 1998, I was just on a mission. I was just getting drunk. I was just drinking to oblivion as normal. But something happened on the morning of May the 8th, which led me to phone the helpline. And a couple of guys, if there's any newcomers here, welcome to any newcomers. But a couple of guys came over and from AA, 12-step me. And really, they just spelt it out. They just spelt out, what alcoholism was. And basically, they said, "You're screwed," and I felt totally hopeless at that point. And they were just passing. They were passing on their experience about their drinking, the things they got up to, the thinking. The consequences of their drinking, their behaviour, and I was just completely with them. I was, that's me, and I was shaking and sweating, and this guy was just saying, "Well, there's a way out of this." He said, "You just got to do what we've done," and really, thank God it was. They said, "Do something. You got to do something, not think something or invent something." Luckily, I was just so beaten that I came to the meeting. But I did ask them if we could stop at the off license on the way to the meeting, and they just said nope. I went to the meeting, thought to myself, I'm sat in an AA meeting, 32, I'm surrounded by a bunch of losers, game over. And that's what I thought. But towards the end of the meeting, this other thought came, and it just went, "It's over." That was it, and I haven't had a drink since. But I just stuck close to my sponsor, and I was totally honest with my sponsor, and I did exactly what he told me to do. I went through the steps, and my recovery was electric. It was absolutely electric. I remember Mark when he first came in, because I totally identify with him, because within a week he was jumping around. He was like, and that's what I was like, because I really thought to myself, I can do. I've stayed sober today, and do you know what? I don't even feel like I want a drink. I could go and have a drink. But I don't even feel like I want one. I'll just go with it. And and that's exactly what I did. You know, I just did exactly what my sponsor said. Went through the 12 steps fearlessly, thoroughly, and absolutely amazing. It really, really was. I mean, and it was quick, you know. And it wasn't a struggle. It was just totally easy. And so I went through the steps. I got a home group and got a sponsor, and I've been a very good boy ever since. Wrong. Because that is completely far from the bloody truth, I'm telling you. Right? I mean, I have got myself into so many scrapes, right? I mean, I've been praying to this God, but this other thing was listening in, right? This other thing, and basically, you know, I didn't just like walk off the road. I purposely went off the road and looked for another one, and then I found that one and thought, this is a bit more exciting than that road. And anyway, so I can just share about my 20 years worth of spiritual growth in a couple of seconds. There you are. And I've been in the bloody doghouse a lot, right? I've been around my sponsors today, and every time I go round there, I'm in the naughty seat. Every time. The only time I ever go round there, I'm in the shit, and I've caused it, you know, and I can just sort of try and rationalise it. I can try and justify it to myself, but even I know it's crap, you know. I mean, I know it's crap. So it's a bit with me, it's not been sort of spiritual growth, it's been more like spiritual warfare. That's what it's been, right? I mean, and I've been texting Jamie about it. I think now the penny's dropped. But you know, but yeah, temptation, you know, I've just gone with it, you know. I've literally just gone with it, you know, right as far as you can go. And Wayne told me that, he told me to sort of like give an example, and I really didn't want to ever share this, right? I really didn't want to share this. I said to him, he said to me, Mark, he said, I can't wait for you to stand up and share about that, right? And I said, I'll do it when I'm 80, right? But anyway, this is an example, right? Come on, Jack, you don't want to miss this, mate. Now, quite a few years ago, I don't know how many years exactly, but I had got myself in some deep, deep, deep trouble, right? And I was just like thinking, oh, I've got to tell, tell my sponsor about this. I've really got to tell him. And anyway, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And then I was on my knees and I'm praying, and I'm thinking, wow, God, please help me to be honest, because I'm a dishonest git. But anyway, as luck would have it, my sponsee, Chris, he came to the bloody rescue. Right. Because he rung up to check in. And he said to me, he said, Mark, I've got some really, really bad news. He said, something I've heard. And I said, oh, what's that? And he said, Wayne has got this certain girl pregnant. And I was carried on talking to Chris. I said, nah, that's not true. And he said, well, it is. And I said, why, Chris? Well, I'll see you tomorrow at the meeting. Put the phone down. Yes! Yes! I was down on my knees. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Right? So anyway, next day, I'm sat there, I'm due to check in, and I'm sat there with my brilliant little copy of The Imitation of Christ, my favourite Step 11 book, and basically in there it talks about the devil, and how the devil can just sneak in, you open the door a little bit, and then he gets in. And this is what had happened to me, right? And I'm sat there reading it because I still ain't quite got the balls, right? So rang Wayne up, and just before I was just about to tell him, and he says, he just treated it like a normal. Like checking, and I said to him, Wayne, I've got something to tell you. He says, what's that? I said, Wayne, I said, I've got this girl pregnant. And he said, I'll clean it up a bit, right? He said, are you taking the piss? He said, are you taking the piss? And I said, and I was laughing. Right, and it was amazing. The phone call was so amazing, right? Because it was like, are you taking a piss? Are you serious? You know, sort of thing. And I said, oh yeah. and I said, look, Wayne, it's me. I'm the, I don't know if I can say asshole. Can I say that? But anyway, I did. I said, I'm the, and anyway, he just, because normally, I mean, like, that I'd be writing a doghouse for that, you know. I'd be writing a doghouse for that. And I remember, after this chat, I put the phone down and I laughed my bloody head off. Honestly, I laughed my head off. and he said, oh, all right, well, I got nothing on you. I'll see you at the meeting. I said, oh. He said, yeah. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, tell the bloody truth. So anyway, you know, if there's any newcomers in here and you've got, you know, and you've done anything, you know, that you might think's a bit, don't worry about it. Right. You know, and if there's any not newcomers here, you know, who has done anything a bit, you know, don't worry about it. Talk to your sponsor. You know, because I have been down the dark side, and hopefully, you know, I ain't gonna go down there again. But I mean, because I don't know what it is. I mean, like when I was a kid, I mean, I used to sit there, and there was these people that I know, like neighbours, are just down the road a bit, and they were just like, everyone just take the piss out of them. Everyone used to say, you know, because like, but they were like really sort of quiet and humble, and they were always out in the garden, they were always doing stuff, and they used to, and they never had no problems with anybody, and they were just completely like good. And I used to think to myself, I wish I could be like that. And I was only, and I knew then, you know, I knew then what direction I was going in, you know. And of course, like alcohol, like Mark was just saying, it just sort of removed right from the very, very first drink. And you know, I took myself to hell, right? I can't blame the alcohol, because alcohol wasn't the problem, it was me. And I didn't know anything about alcoholism, and I really didn't know that that I had placed myself beyond human aid. You know, I really did understand. I really didn't. I could have gone to my death in total ignorance. You know, wasn't it? That would have been it. I would have. I mean, today I've actually been sober, or I think I've been sober about the same time as the amount of time as when I drank. And but you know, it's been 20 years, and obviously, you know, I have always had a sponsor. I have always had a home group. I've always been reading the big book. I've always been saying my prayers, right? But the snake god was watching me, you know. Years ago, I mean, so the thing is, what I'm trying to say is that I have tried my best to do, just, you know, from. What have I been saved from in that 20 years? And I'm just totally grateful, you know, because I literally wouldn't have lasted much longer with my drinking. Because I mean, even the bloody, some of the accidents I had, I shouldn't have survived, you know. There's no way I would have survived. I really don't think I would have survived another couple of years. I'd be a total cabbage now. If I was alive, I would be a total cabbage. I mean, these guys, I mean, they were saying to me, you know, if you carry on drinking, you could develop a wet brain. And that was bloody scary. A wet brain. You know, when your brain dries out, it literally dries out. And it could happen at any time, you know. And then you are just a walking zombie, you know, institutionalized for the rest of your life. I mean, and that to me was horrific, you know. But that's the sort of thing that happens to alcoholics. You know, alcoholics don't go out in nice ways. They go out in bloody horrible ways, you know. And they take other people with them. So, I've been saved from that, and I mean, like Wayne did say to me today, he said, stay out of trouble. I said, "Oh, don't worry, Wayne, what trouble can I get in an hour and a half?" But he just laughed. I can get in massive trouble in an hour and a half. Easy. You know, I can go from zero to, like, deep shit in an hour and a half. So, you know, it's nice to be in a room of people who understand. I mean, the thing is, I've had loads of scrapes. I know I keep going on about it, but some of them are quite funny. Like Rick, he dropped me, innit? We went to Bournemouth, and he said, drove Wayne to Bournemouth, and he says, "Oh, you haven't got any tax on your car. It's been out of date for about a year. It didn't have any MOT on it either." But I mean, the thing is I think, you know, to me, that's just like, oh, you know, nothing. You know, that wasn't even a misdemeanor. That was, you know. But he told me that if I didn't get tax on my car the next day, I had to hand him the keys to my car. But I mean, like that. I mean, if all the trouble I got in was like that much, I'd be bloody overjoyed. I would be overjoyed. Because and there we are, like 2 minutes. So right, that's lucky, really, for you lot. But oh, that's brilliant. That's bloody brilliant. And then he sat down on his little veranda, and he put the tape in the machine. So there he thought, oh, that's really nice to listen to. Switched it on, sat there, listening, took the tape out, no tape.